In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable sisters, dear retreatants and parishioners, yesterday was the Feast of St. Joseph, and I would like to speak about him today, since this is a Sunday in such close proximity to his feast, and also the whole month of March is dedicated to St. Joseph. Of course, Lent always happens during March, so that is the primary liturgical focus, the sufferings of our Lord, doing penance for our sins, also honoring the sorrows of Our Lady. But I would like to just reflect upon the seven sorrows and the seven joys of St. Joseph. You are, I'm sure, familiar with the seven sorrows of Our Lady, but the Church also recognizes seven particular joys of Our Lady. And we'll talk about that on another occasion. But today, let us see how St. Joseph had to suffer, how he had to go through incredibly sorrowful and painful experiences. Of course, there were more than seven, but these are the seven major ones that are identified. And we do well to honor those sorrows of St. Joseph. But let us also remember there are the seven particular joys. Many joys, of course, but seven in particular that we can and should honor as well. So let us think of our great patron, St. Joseph, who was designated by Almighty God to be the head of the Holy Family, to be the chaste spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and as the Church has declared him, the patron of the universal Church. So we are honoring and we are speaking about the greatest saint in heaven after Our Lady. The dignity of St. Joseph is just, I believe, beyond our comprehension because Almighty God obeyed him in his human nature. Our Lord was subject to him. Our Lady, too, acknowledging him as head of the family, allowing him to give that direction and providing for and leadership that fathers are called upon to give in their families. Our Lady was honoring that. See, she was submissive to him. So the dignity of St. Joseph, hard to comprehend how great it is. And his sanctity obviously had to be commensurate with that dignity, with that role that God gave to him. So let us get into the seven sorrows. I'm sorry, we couldn't print them in the bulletin. We just didn't have enough room to squeeze them in. But anyway, I'll give them to you verbally. St. Joseph's first sorrow was finding that Our Lady was expecting and he didn't know why. That was an incredibly difficult test. He knew Our Lady's holiness, but he didn't understand how it was. You see, God tests even the greatest saints. St. Joseph had to just simply say, "Dear God, I don't understand, but I'm trusting thee." And he was even going to put her away privately. What that means is he was going to make himself look bad. If that was necessary, then to make Our Lady look bad in any way. And of course, then his trial came to an end when the angel appeared to him and said, "This is of the Holy Ghost." St. Joseph, the angel was saying, "You are going to be called upon to be the guardian and the foster father of the Messiah." But again, that test was there, that sorrow, that suffering, that anguish, not knowing. Let us remember this, in the times of anguish and suffering and not knowing how things will turn out, we too can imitate St. Joseph. in that confidence in God. His second sorrow was seeing Jesus being laid in an impoverished manger, in a stable. Every man wants to provide well for his family. He doesn't necessarily want the greatest and the best, but at least decent, honorable. And it was the will of God that the Savior would be born in a dirty, smelly stable. Of course, St. Joseph and Our Lady cleaned it up as best they could. They made the best of it. But that was a suffering and a sorrow for St. Joseph that it couldn't have been better. But he recognized, here's the will of God. This is a chance for us to practice heroic virtue that will be witnessed till the end of time. How Almighty God came in such humble circumstances. His third sorrow, seeing Jesus go through the pain of his circumcision. It was, again, the Mosaic law. It had to happen. Parents suffer when they see their children suffering. So St. Joseph was called upon to obviously not be our Lord's father by nature, but to be his foster father. So he literally adopted him. That's what he was called upon to do. Otherwise, he would not be able to exercise authority over him. The fourth sorrow, when Jesus is being presented in the temple on the 40th day after his birth, a day that should have been one of great rejoicing, and it was at first, but then he hears Simeon say, "This child will be a sign of contradiction. He will be hated. He will be opposed." And St. Joseph was reminded of the prophecies of the suffering Messiah. And then he heard Simeon say to Our Lady, his dearly beloved spouse, "Your soul will be pierced with a sword." That's why we see Our Lady portrayed in Catholic art with either one sword, which represents all of her sorrows and sufferings, or even the seven swords. St. Joseph was suffering so much to hear that prophecy. The fifth sorrow, the flight into Egypt. They were fleeing from being killed, from the baby Jesus being killed. And as they're escaping from Bethlehem, perhaps they could even hear the anguished cries of the mothers whose baby boys were being torn from them, being executed by Herod's soldiers, the fathers. I wouldn't be surprised if there are fathers who jumped between the sword and their son and maybe died or were wounded. That's what loving fathers and mothers do. They lay down their lives for their children. And St. Joseph and Our Lady heard this. They knew what was going on. The sixth sorrow, the fear of the tyrant Archelaus, even when they returned, they had to change places from where they were going to live. That fear hanging over their heads. What will they try to do to Jesus even now? And then the last sorrow, the 3 days' loss. I see that always as a parent's ultimate nightmare, to all of a sudden not know where your child is and you can't find your child. And then all the worst scenarios would start going through your mind. Where is he? Where is she? And you, what happened? So even Our Lady and St. Joseph, through no fault of their own, of course, they had to undergo that loss of Jesus. So it's so clear to us that St. Joseph was called upon for his spiritual growth, for in fulfilling his role, to suffer and to have sorrow. God did not spare his son, from that. He did not spare his mother, and he certainly didn't spare Saint Joseph. So we can unite with Saint Joseph in our sorrows and in our sufferings. He knows what it's like. He went through it himself. But let us now also reflect upon the joys of Saint Joseph. And these are, I think, beyond our comprehension, how great they were. And a reward, even in this life, for doing the will of God, for accepting the sorrows and sufferings. Here are the joys, many of which are closely allied to the sorrows of Saint Joseph. The first joy, when the angel told him of the incarnation. See how much he was suffering up to that point? He didn't know, he didn't understand, and he thought that he would have to take it upon himself to make himself look bad. He was willing to do it. And then the angel says, that's Almighty God. That's the Messiah within her. Talk about sorrow being changed into the most expansive joy. The Messiah is here. We've been waiting for him for 4,000 years. The longer the wait, always the greater the joy. So Saint Joseph experienced that. The second joy, seeing the wise men adore Jesus as their God and Savior. And of course, the joy of seeing the shepherds adore, but they were of the chosen people. But now these wise men came from the east. These are the Gentiles. And a reminder that our Lord didn't come just for his chosen people, but for everyone that would believe in him. The third joy, imposing the sacred name of Jesus. Parents bestow the name upon their children. And Saint Joseph, as the foster father, I think Our Lady obviously participated in this too, the bestowal of the name. She too knew what he was to be called. But imagines bestowing the name of Jesus. And Jesus means Savior. In the Hebrew, Jesus is Yeshua. And there's variations on that, such as Joshua. But that was St. Joseph's joy and privilege. You are Jesus. And of course, Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one. So Jesus is the Savior, Christ the anointed one. He is the anointed Savior. The fourth joy, the divine infant, was to be the resurrection of many. That, again, that was paired with the sorrow at hearing Jesus being prophesied to be rejected, Our Lady's, the sword going through Our Lady's heart. But many will be saved. I'm reminded of what St. Paul says, as sorrowing, yet always rejoicing. Our life cannot be without both. And there are purposes to both of them. And as a matter of fact, we may even say the sorrows are deeper than the joys for us in this life. And you know, it has to be that way. Because in heaven, there is no sorrow and there is no pain, only joy eternally. The last three joys of Saint Joseph, seeing the idols overthrown in Egypt. And I can't help but smile when I think about when the Holy Family went to Egypt and all these idols are toppling miraculously. And the Egyptians have no idea of what's happening. They just know all their idols are falling to the ground. Little did they know is because of the Savior, the divine Savior, the one and true God is nearby, and he's just making all these false gods fall on their face. Must have really driven the Egyptians crazy to wonder why that was all going on. So anyway, that's a joy to see false gods being humbled, being brought down. And Saint Joseph was a witness of that. The sixth joy, sharing the company of Jesus and Mary in Nazareth. I mean, to live with Almighty God, to live with the most holy Virgin Mother Mary. Every day, every hour. What inspiration, what consolation, what joy. So even though these sorrows were so great for Saint Joseph, his joy in being with Jesus and Mary. And my dear friends, no matter what our sufferings and our sorrows, if we're with Jesus and Mary and Joseph spiritually, are we not well? Are we not in good hands? Are we not in the best of company through our devotion to our Lord, our Lady, and Saint Joseph? And then finally, the finding of Jesus in the temple. Again, that's paired with the loss, how great the anxiety over what happened, but the joy when he is found. So I just wanted to share these with you about Saint Joseph to help you with your devotion to him. We absolutely should keep growing in our devotion to Saint Joseph. Our greatest devotion is, of course, to Almighty God. But secondly, to Our Lady, but let's not forget Saint Joseph. He has such a role to play. And why is he the patron of the Universal Church? Why did the popes proclaim him as such? Because he was the earthly guardian and protector of Jesus Christ. That was his role. And so now, our Lord, the Catholic Church is called the mystical body of Christ. So for that same reason, he's guardian and protector of the mystical body of Christ. He watches over all Catholics in a particular way. So how blessed we are to turn to this great saint. And I'll end with the words of Saint Teresa of Avila, who had a tremendous devotion to Saint Joseph. I took for my advocate and Lord the glorious Saint Joseph and commended myself earnestly to him. I found that this was my father, and he delivered me both from trouble and also from other and greater troubles concerning my honor and the loss of my soul, and that he gave me greater blessings than I could ask of him. I do not remember even now that I have ever asked anything of him which he has failed to grant. So, great Saint Joseph, bless us, pray for us, and protect us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.